Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text this morning is the temptation of our Lord Jesus from the fourth chapter of St. Matthew. And under the theme this morning, Jesus passes the test for you. You may be seated. Promises, promises. So many promises. Promises from our family. Promises from our friends. Promises from our government. Promises from the world. As Adam and Eve stood and listened to the devil, he made promises to them. You're not going to die. Oh, you'll be like God. Each promise was an empty promise. Each promise was a lie. Today, we hear more promises made by the devil. Yet, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus passes the test for you and for me. As we read from St. Matthew, the fourth chapter, just before Jesus is taken into the desert, he is baptized. Jesus takes on all of our sins as he was standing in the Jordan. But most importantly, Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then we hear the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Our triune God this morning is now well pleased with our brother Drake. God has cleansed him and given to Drake a free gift, newness of life. Thanks be to God. As Jesus was finishing the baptism, and as he heard these words of his Holy Father, he's immediately taken into the wilderness, into the desert. And he's taken there by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. My friends, make no mistake about it. Jesus' temptation begins immediately, and we know this to be true from Mark and from Luke. Many have this idea that Jesus was only tempted these three times. No, his temptation was constant. Satan was constantly trying to get Jesus to fall, knowing that if he falls, all is lost. You and I would be lost. Jesus was under constant assault for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan had Jesus right where he wanted him, alone in the desert and hungry. Now, a lot of people try to compare this to Moses and to Elijah. There is no comparison at all. Rather, there is contrast. Moses fasted for 40 days for God's glory. Jesus fasted for 40 days in his state of humiliation. Elijah was fed before he fasted. Jesus was fed after he fasted. Jesus suffered 40 days of humiliation here in the desert before the beginning of his ministry. After his glorious resurrection, Jesus, in his state of exaltation, was on the earth for 40 days. So as we think about these temptations of Satan, let's cover them one by one. The first temptation. As you have heard, the Father has just proclaimed, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." But you know, Satan disagrees. Satan disagrees with God every single time. What does he say to Jesus? It's on your bulletin cover. If you are the Son of God. God has just said that he is the Son of God. But Satan is such a liar that he wants Jesus not to believe it because he doesn't believe it. He wants Jesus to doubt his heavenly Father. My friends, unbelievers will tempt you in the very same way. They want you to doubt that this is God's word. They will say to you, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that you have to keep the Ten Commandments? Did God really say that lust in the heart for another man or another woman who is not your wife or husband is adultery? Did God really say that when you hate your neighbor, that is murder? Did God say that if I keep extra change given to me by a cashier and she doesn't know it, that's stealing? Did God really say that you can't be a God? Did God really say that a woman cannot be ordained as a pastor? Did God really say that marriage is between a man and a woman? Satan wants you not to believe any of this. He wants you to believe that what man says has priority over what God says. Yet Jesus passes the first test. Jesus passes the first test, as you heard with the children. He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't debate with him. That would be just a waste of time. Jesus answers by using God's own word. He uses the word of truth. Why is this the word of truth? Because God says that it's the word of truth. Unbelievers and Satan still will doubt this word. They still doubt that this is the word of truth. But it doesn't matter if they doubt it or don't believe it at all. It still doesn't matter because it doesn't change what God has written. Soon they will die, but the word of the Lord will last forever. God's word is, and God's word will always be the truth, whether you like it or not, whether Satan likes it or not. It's the truth because Jesus spoke the truth. The second temptation. Satan now takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple. And there in the holy city of Jerusalem, Satan will now test Jesus to see if he really trusts his Father. Satan uses scriptures. Isn't that amazing? Satan knows what's written in this book, and therefore he tries to outdo Jesus. But just like the unbeliever, just like the person who doesn't truly believe what's written in here, they will take the word of God and they will twist it to fit their own warped ways of thinking. Satan misquotes Psalm 91. He omits from Psalm 91, "In all your ways," the "your" is God's way. Satan tempts you and me to believe that we can do it our way rather than God's way. God promises here in the 91st Psalm to protect the righteous man in all his ways. The "his" again is God. God doesn't promise to protect you or me if we willfully place ourselves into danger in order to test or to tempt God. If any one of you would walk with me up into the steeple and you and I jump together, will we expect for an angel to catch us before we splatter all over Shum Road? No. Your blood will be on Shum Road just like mine will be, because God will not be tested. Yes, in the news here recently, there was a snake-handling pastor down in Kentucky. They believed that if the snake even bit them, that they would make a miraculous recovery. The last I checked, he's still in the tomb. He's still in his grave. And he won't rise again until the great last day, when he will have to answer why he tested God. If you handle a dangerous snake, the dangerous snake will bite you. And oh yes, you will die. God promises to protect the righteous man when we follow his way. God promises to protect us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's what he protects us from. We will die naturally, and there's nothing that will prevent that unless the Lord comes before that time. But until that time, we trust and we obey, and God will protect us. Jesus, again, doesn't fall for this trick. And what does Jesus say? "Again, it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil and his followers, my friends, they know the Word of God, but they use Scripture against Scripture. They try to use God's Word in a way to tempt you and to me not to believe what it's written, that we can do anything we want. It doesn't matter. Oh, this book was written well over 1,900 years ago. It's old. It's passé. You can throw it out. You can make up your own word. And in that, Satan relishes. He is delighted with that because we then fall into his trick that we can interpret Scripture on our own. Scripture isn't given to us to interpret. Scripture interprets itself. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus correctly uses Scripture to interpret itself. And he uses the word against Satan. And Satan has no answer. The third and final temptation of Jesus. Now, first, before we talk about this, let's correct an error. Many people believe that this third temptation is only a vision, some kind of a mystical vision that Satan gives to Jesus. And the Greek text, the original text of the Bible, does not support that in any way. It is factual. Satan was permitted, just as Satan was permitted to tempt Job, Satan was permitted to take Jesus to a very high mountain and to supernaturally show him all the splendor of all the earthly kingdoms. I know it's incomprehensible for us, but again, that does not change the truth of God's word. In this temptation, Satan shows us his true colors. The devil tries to prove to you and me that he is the majestic Lord of this world. By the way, that's a Lord with a small L. Satan masquerades as God, yet he is a liar. He is not God. And Satan uses the same lie on you and me. Satan attempts to convince us that we can do it ourselves. You don't need God. You're your own individual. You have your own intellect. You're more important than the next person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you. Take care of number one. You don't need what God offers. By the way, what God offers is too hard. Rather, what does the devil offer you? He tells you to first worship him, and then he'll give you the heart that your heart's desire. But Satan, my friends, has nothing to give to you. The world does not belong to him. He is a usurper. He has come in and tries to take what is not his. He is a thief and a liar. All he has is lies, damnable lies. Satan tries to convince you that you can take care of your own pain or your own suffering or your own troubles. Why, you can find comfort in a bottle or in a can or by a needle or by sex or by power and any other worldly pleasure. Lies, all damnable lies. But what does God promise you? You've just seen it. God promises you something that is free, his kingdom. God gives to you unconditionally. God gives his only begotten Son. God gives to you the Holy Spirit. There are no strings. There are no fine print. There's no hidden tricks. You've just seen it for yourself. Drake came here. He had no way of performing his own work. Faith was given to him. You heard that the Holy Trinity baptized him. Drake is forgiven, and it's a free gift. And Drake has now received the Holy Spirit freely. No tricks, no gimmicks, no fine print. Peter said to those Jews in Acts, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." And it still baffles me why many people, when they read this, say, oh, baptism isn't for the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit just said it. It's for the forgiveness of sins. It's the truth. And whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change God's word. Baptism is for the forgiveness of Drake's sin and your sin. But Satan tries to get you to not believe it because he's a liar. Do you want to hear the truth or listen to lies? Well, you have power over Satan. We just sang it in the great Lutheran hymn written by Martin Luther. One little word will fail him. One little word will fail him. The sword of the Spirit. Jesus orders Satan to be gone. Other translations say that he ordered Satan to depart from him. And Satan had no choice. He left. You know, for the unbeliever will hear the very same words from Jesus on the great last day. Jesus will say to those who are on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If that doesn't raise the hair on the back of your neck, then I kind of doubt you have a beating heart. Jesus is going to say to those who follow Satan to depart from him. Your creator who knows you is going to tell you to leave, to be gone. Repent. Repent, dear friends, and believe the word. Believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Believe that he has died for your sins and that he rose on the third day to forgive you. It's unconditional. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. It's free. Dearly beloved, let's also clear this up as we prepare to close. To be tempted is not sin. Think about it. If temptation was sin, then Jesus would be a sinner. But Jesus did not sin because temptation isn't a sin. What makes temptation a sin is when we listen to the lies of Satan and obey him rather than obeying God. Yes, it's true that we are sinners and Jesus is the perfect Son of God. Yet Jesus gave us power over the evil one. It's right here in this book. If you don't read it, you don't have the sword. You're defenseless. Just like a soldier on a battlefield. If he doesn't have his M16 or if he doesn't have his tank, he's defenseless and he will die. If you don't have the sword of the Spirit on the great last day, you will die. Yet Jesus was obedient. Even unto death, Jesus was obedient. We, his children, have been given his righteousness. In your baptism, some of you baptized right here, your sin was forgiven, and you too were given the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who intercedes for you and continually draws you to your Father in heaven, who continually draws you to the gifts found here in the church. My friends, baptism is found here. You just seen it. Also found here in the church is body and blood and the word. Yes, Jesus has passed the test for you, and he's passed the test for me. So important for us, for in him passing the test, Jesus has given us an example. And the example is that we have power over the temptations of Satan. You don't need the things of this world. You don't need the can or the bottle or the needle or sex or anything else. All you need for life is found here, the sword of the Spirit. And Jesus has given it to you, and he's given it to Drake this morning as a free gift. Thanks be to Jesus that he passed the test for you and for me. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.